Pluriversi Radio, podcasting dall'Università di Bergamo. Marco Lazzari, Scuola Interuniversitaria Lombarda di specializzazione per l'insegnamento secondario, 27 novembre 2007. Per la serie di registrazioni del corso di Tecnologie dell'Educazione, oggi Elisa Richetti e Gilda Sertori ci introducono al tema del Rinascimento inglese attraverso lo strumento della interrogazione simulata. La registrazione è pensata per studenti del terzo anno di un istituto magistrale. Buon ascolto.
Argomento: English Renaissance. Destinatari: alunne della classe terza magistrale. Autrici podcast e voci narranti: Richetti Elisa e Sertori Gilda. Introduzione. Care ragazze, il tanto temuto momento delle interrogazioni si sta ormai avvicinando. Dato che per voi la letteratura inglese è quest'anno un argomento totalmente nuovo e ho notato che nelle prime interrogazioni sulla letteratura medievale avete quasi tutte avuto qualche difficoltà, ho pensato di venirvi incontro, dal momento che stiamo per affrontare un argomento di cruciale importanza per il programma di quest'anno, la vita e la produzione letteraria di William Shakespeare. È quindi fondamentale che tutte voi abbiate chiaro quanto abbiamo fatto finora. Quindi, con l'aiuto della mia collega di inglese dell'altra sezione, la professoressa Gilda Sertori, ho preparato la simulazione di una possibile interrogazione sugli argomenti che abbiamo trattato nelle ultime settimane. La potrete sempre trovare a vostra disposizione nella sezione e-learning del sito della scuola, alla voce podcasting. Ascoltandola avrete la possibilità di ripassare gli argomenti che abbiamo affrontato, in particolare il contesto storico-culturale del Rinascimento inglese e lo sviluppo del teatro. Tramite l'ascolto attento di questa registrazione avrete anche modo di farvi un'idea delle possibili domande della ormai imminente interrogazione e di capire quali sono le risposte auspicabili. Con questo non vi chiedo certo di impararvi a memoria le mie risposte, ma solamente di prendere spunto. E chissà, magari potreste anche fare meglio di me. Del resto è destino che gli allievi debbano sempre superare il maestro. Per il momento vi auguro un buon ascolto e buono studio.
What's the meaning of the word Renaissance? The word Renaissance refers to the revival of classical cultures and languages which for centuries had been considered dead.
Which were the major cultural and literary influences on the English Renaissance?
English Renaissance was influenced both by Italian literature and classical writers. As a matter of fact, English writers looked back at the works of Petrarch and Dante on one side, but they were also influenced by Plutarch and Seneca on the other.
Where, in particular, did the English Renaissance develop?
The English humanists started the English Renaissance with their writings and lectures at Oxford and Cambridge. These two universities expanded considerably during the 15th and 16th century, and the majority of the English humanists studied there or went there for lectures and research.
Which English sovereigns reigned during the period of the English Renaissance?
Queen Elizabeth I and King James I were the two sovereigns who reigned during the English Renaissance.
When did the English Renaissance reach its height?
During the reign of Queen Elizabeth I.
Why?
Well, because she was very well educated and could speak six languages fluently, including Greek and Latin. She was an intelligent woman and she chose carefully her counselors. For all these reasons, she gave a great impulse to culture and to the development of the English Renaissance.
What were the values of the Renaissance period?
The humanistic values of beauty, order and natural harmony dominated the period.
Now, let's move on to the theatre and drama. What historical events marked the end of medieval drama?
The two main events that caused the end of medieval drama were Henry VIII's schism from Rome on one side and the religious movement of Reformation on the other.
Why did these two events cause a change in drama?
Well, because mysteries and religious plays, which were typical of the Middle Ages, had to be banned in order to avoid occasions of conflicts between Catholics and Protestants.
Can you describe the itinerant companies of actors of the 16th century?
Yes, they were resident professional actors in lords' houses who started to travel during the summer, going around the country and giving public performances. They kept the status of servants of their lord and called their companies after his name. They had to carry a letter of permission from their patron to travel and give public shows in order to avoid being punished and imprisoned as vagabonds.
Can you remember the name of some of these companies?
Yes, of course. The Earls of Leicester's men, the Lord Chamberlain's men, and the Lord Admiral's men.
Where did performances take place?
Before the building of the first playhouses, performances took place on movable stages in inn yards, town squares, or in the manor houses of nobles.
Were there women in travelling companies?
No, there were no women, because the acting profession was considered immoral and therefore inappropriate for a woman. So young boys used to play female roles.
When were the first playhouses built?
The first playhouses were built towards the end of the 16th century.
And where were they built?
They were built in London, but they had to be located on the south bank of the Thames, outside the city walls.
Why did they have to be located on the south bank?
Well, because the Puritan authorities considered them to be centers of corruption and did not allow them to be built under their jurisdiction.
Do you remember the name of some of the first playhouses?
Yes, of course. The first playhouses built in London were the Theatre in 1576, the Rose in 1587, the Swan in 1595, and the Globe in 1599.
Can you describe the structure of an Elizabethan playhouse?
Elizabethan playhouses were circular or polygonal in shape. The stage consisted of a rectangular platform which projected into the theatre's central pit. The pit had no roof and no seats and was occupied by spectators who could only pay the basic admission fee of one penny. Around the theatre there were galleries for the higher social classes. The stage was surrounded by the audience on three sides. On the fourth side, at the back of the stage, there was a wall which hid a tiring house, where the players changed.
What were the main characteristics of an Elizabethan performance?
The performance took place in daylight, since there were no artificial lights. Elizabethan plays used no painted scenery, and the setting was usually indicated in the character's speech, so it was up to the audience to recreate it through their imagination.
What was the social composition of an Elizabethan audience?
The public included people from all layers of society, from the lower classes to the nobility. If the sovereign wanted to see a play, then players were called to the court.
Why did Elizabethan playwrights write their plays?
Well, of course, they had some literary ambitions, but they basically wrote their plays to provide entertainment and make money. Once written, plays were sold to a company of players and became the property of that company.
Who were the university wits?
They were a group of players who founded the English drama of the Renaissance between 1570s and 1590s. They were called university wits because they were all men of university education, either from Cambridge or from Oxford.
Who were the best known of the university wits?
The best known of the university wits were John Lilly from Cambridge and Christopher Marlowe from Oxford.
What do you know about their dramatic production?
Well, John Lilly is the author of a couple of romantic comedies, Endymion and Midas, but he is famous especially for his romance, Euphues or the Anatomy of Wit. Christopher Marlowe, instead, is the most talented of the university wits. He died young in mysterious circumstances, and it's for this reason that he didn't write many plays. He is anyway very famous because he is the author of four important tragedies, Tamburlaine, Edward II, Dr. Faustus, and the Jew of Malta.
Can you remember the name of some other Elizabethan playwrights who were not university wits?
Yes, of course. The first one is Thomas Kyd, who didn't have a university education but was closely associated to Marlowe. He is famous for his Spanish tragedy, which was the prototype of the revenge tragedy and one of the sources for Shakespeare's Hamlet. And of course, there's William Shakespeare, who is the most famous English playwright, even if he never went to university.